Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, let's open our Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 13 to 18. Shaul Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, in Mashiach Yeshua. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Pygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." And that's how the first chapter of 2 Timothy conclude. And I read actually only 6 verses. I didn't want to go into chapter 2 because I wanted to finish this chapter, and I want you to see how Paul had felt at the end of his life before he was killed by Nero, the Roman emperor, sometime around 67, 66 AD, when the Apostle Paul was captured the second time and was in prison in the city of Rome. Now again, brothers and sisters, let's remember the setting. The Apostle Paul, of course, he was in the last days of his life. And as he was anticipating to be killed and to leave this world, he was writing this letter to this brother by the name of Timothy. Timothy, as we mentioned many times, was a Jewish younger man. His mother was Jewish. His father was Greek. And Timothy needed an encouragement to continue on to move forward, because Paul is soon to die and he's going to leave this scene. Timothy is going to carry on, and he's going to continue to serve Yeshua the Messiah, preaching the gospel to the Jew, to the Gentile, around the world, to continue to carry the truths that he have learned. So the Apostle Paul very wisely wanted to delegate the information that he had and to delegate Timothy to be the next one, so the ministry will continue and nothing will fall by the wayside. If you remember, we read already in 2 Timothy chapter 4, just look at this verse. At the end of this letter, Paul said to Timothy in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Timothy, I am ready to be departing out of this world. Soon I am going to go to be with my Messiah, with our Messiah, Yeshua, in heaven. So Timothy, I want you now to continue on with the things that you have learned. I'm going to leave. Timothy, I'm encouraging you to continue on to follow the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And where was he writing from, beloved brothers and sisters? He was not sitting in a comfortable place, the Apostle Paul. He was in the city of Rome, in prison, in an awful dungeon, where he was anticipating the time of his death. Notice again in 2 Timothy in verse 8, "Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." He was in prison, the Apostle Paul. And if you turn to verse 16, which we also read, he said, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." He was in prison and he was in chain to some Roman soldiers, awaiting the day when he will end up to lose his life. Because Nero apparently executed him. Some believe that his head was cut. Others believe that he was torn apart. We do not know what's happened. But the Apostle Paul was ready to leave this scene. And just like any older brother, and thank God for those older brothers that have been an influence on our life, they want that the things of the Lord will continue on. They did not want that the things of the Lord will be laid aside. They wanted growth of the body of Messiah. They wanted the growth of the believers in Yeshua the Messiah. And therefore, they knew how to pass to the next generation the responsibility that they will continue on with the work of the Lord. Look what Moshe did many, many years ago to the servant Yehoshua when he was ready to leave this world and to be taken to the God of Israel. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3 with me just for a moment. Please, you see, what Moshe did to Yehoshua, Shaul Paul did to Timothy. An older brother, an older man of God have delegated the responsibility to a younger person, so the work of God will continue and the people of God will move forward. Notice what we read about Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our lawgiver, who led our forefathers Israel in the wilderness for 40 years before he was taken out of this scene in chapter 3 and verse 28. God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Moses, our lawgiver, he said, "Charge Yehoshua," verse 28, "and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before these people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." Notice what God is saying to Moses. "Moses, you encourage Yehoshua," or Joshua in English. In Hebrew we call him Yehoshua. "Encourage Yehoshua, and then strengthen him," Moshe, God said to Moses, "because he will be the one who will lead Israel into the promised land." Moses was not going to enter into the land. He's going to remain there. He will die on Mount Nebo. God would take him, but Moshe was called to encourage Yehoshua and to strengthen him. Just turn the page to the 31st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and look what we continually reading, how Moses followed the instruction of God in connection with Yehoshua. It says here in verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter 31, it does say, "And Moshe," Moses, "he called unto Yehoshua," Joshua, "and he said unto him in the sight of all Israel," he said, "be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Verse 8, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Can you imagine what that meant for Yehoshua? He was about to lead all this great nation of our own nation, Israel. He was going to bring them into the promised land. And that leader, that monument, you might say, Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who led our forefathers throughout the wilderness, he's going to lead him. Imagine what it meant for Yahushua, who needed an encouragement from Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, the lawgiver. Well, Timothy was in the same situation. Shaul Paul is ready to leave. He's going to pass away out of this scene. And he wanted that the gospel of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah will be preached around the world. The Jew and Gentile alike will come to faith in Yeshua. That the great work of salvation will be provided here in this world and shared with the nations around. But he also, beloved brothers and sisters, and this is what we're going to learn right now, he didn't want him only to preach the gospel to the lost world, but he also wanted Timothy to hold on to the truths that he learned from the Apostle Paul, who received this from the glorified Messiah. So back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to notice in these 6 verses that we just read, there are 2 things that the Apostle Paul challenged Timothy to be true to. And you and I need to learn this as well. We need to learn that the Lord wants us to be true to 2 things, at least in this context of the chapter. First of all, in verses 13 and 14, Paul wanted Timothy to be true to the Word of God. We would call it the Tanakh and the Brit HaChadashah, the Bible. And number 2, that Timothy ought to be true to the servant of God, namely Shaul Paul. Not only true to the Word of God, but also true to the servants of the Lord. In this case, it was the Apostle Paul. And so, notice what he does, and I think it is very precious and encouraging. And every one of us here, especially those of you that have been just recently baptized and identify with the death and burial and resurrection of Yeshua, the Messiah, you will see that it wouldn't take too long and the enemy is going to attack. He will not let you cruise. Oh no. Satan, Hasatan, is soten. He's harming. He's an enemy of God's people. He began in the Garden of Eden, the Gan Eden, when he began to sow a doubt in the mind of Eve, Chava, when he said, "Hath God really said? Is it really the Word of God?" That's what he does. He does to you and I every time. Is it really what the Bible says? Is it really what Yeshua taught in the Word of God? Is it really what we read in the Tanakh? The Old Testament, the Brit HaChadashah, the New Covenant, is it really the Word of God? And so Paul is very strong. He says, listen, if you want to continue and to be a blessing to God's people and to serve God's people, I know, Timothy, that enemies will rise up very quickly. And Satan will rise up very quickly. And he will seek to snatch from you what you have learned. He will seek to pull away from you the truths that you already have learned. Because the whole purpose of Satan is to oppose the things of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. And so Paul, notice that what he does. First of all, in verse 13, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in the Mashiach Yeshua, in Christ Jesus." Notice he used that certain words that are very interesting. The first word he used, the word "hold fast." The Greek word is really echo, or in Hebrew, chazak, hachzek, chazak, hold tight. Don't hold it loose, but hold it tight. Recognize, make it your own. Don't only say, "Oh, the preacher, he knows the Word of God, and I do not need to know it for myself." Don't only say, "Oh, my mother taught me the things before, but I don't need to apply it to myself." "Oh, you know, my friends, they know the Word of God, but, you know, for me, it's not so important. I can always go to them."
But Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, make it your own. Hold fast. You know, sometimes it's said, when people think that they're going to live the life of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah on the expense of their mother and father who perhaps walk with the Lord, or perhaps their brothers and sisters who are, oh yeah, they are great servants of Yeshua the Messiah, but they neglect, like we at time are guilty, to make it our own. You know, unless something is our own, we will never fight for it. If something is not mine, we usually say, I couldn't care else for this. But when something is our own, and we realize this is the truth, that I'm going to hold on to it, I'm somehow seeking to maintain the truth that I have learned, because this is something that becomes very precious for a person's life. And so Paul, he's saying to him in verse 13, hold fast, he said, notice the form of sound words. That expression, that word, the form, it's really can be said it is an outline of sound doctrine, sound teaching. The word for sound can be said wholesome, things that are true, things that are sound and clear and not unreasonable, not unbiblical. Just turn to chapter 2 for a moment. Notice what he said to him in verse 15. Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Notice, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, don't mix it. Understand things soundly. You know, unfortunately, beloved brothers and sisters, not to blame anybody, but in the period of time in which we live in today, in the professing church age, there's so much confusion. There's so many views about the things of the Lord. And we do not know sometimes who to listen to and what to adhere to. There's voices here and there are voices there. People are teachers on the radio, on the television, on the internet, and everyone is a teacher. And unless we are careful to hold on to that which is sound, we are liable to be drawn away into the things that are not sound. You know, it happened in the history of our nation, Israel. When we studied just recently the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah, in our Bible classes, we notice how Israel, our nation, already in the early chapters that we find out that God says, come, let us reason together, he said to the nation. Why? Because the nation have gone astray and have been drawn after all that which was not sound teaching, was not from the Lord. And so God gave warning to our forefathers Israel. God gave warning to the believers in this present day dispensation. And so he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, hold fast, hachzek in Hebrew, the form of sound words. In other words, that which is sound, that which is clear, that which is really come from the word of God. Now, if you go back for a moment to chapter 5 of the first epistle, notice that, the word hold fast, chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, and verse 21, he already mentioned certain things to Timothy. I charge you, Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach and the elect angel that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Timothy, I charge you. Here he's saying, Timothy, I'm telling you, hold fast the things that you have been taught. Hold them tight. Make sure that you don't let them lose. Don't let anybody influence you on that which is not sound and it's not from the Word of God. So, this is so important, beloved brothers and sisters. Can I elaborate a little bit about it? Why is it so important to have sound doctrine? You know, some people deny the fact that there is
only one God. Others deny the fact that Yeshua is divine. Others lay aside the truth of the triunity of the Godhead. Others lay aside the truth that the Word of God is indeed truly divinely inspired. Others teach that a person is really saved on a basis of works. Others teach all sort of things that are not found in the Word of God. And in a sense, what happened is that they are taking us away or leading believers away from simply accepting what God said in His Word. And they ultimately creep in, and we know that in Corinthian assembly and other assembly, what have happened in the history of the church, and they teach things that are not found in the Word of God. So Paul is encouraging Timothy to hold fast to that which is indeed from the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Here's a verse that I would like you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9. Then when he was writing from prison, Paul said to the Philippian believers, to the local assembly, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which thou have both learned. Notice that. Just like to Timothy. So you have learned those things. Things that you have learned and the things that you have received and heard and seen in me. Do and the God of peace shall be with you. Elohei HaShalom Yihyeh Imachem. The God of peace will be with you. He said, but really, brethren, he's saying to the Philippian, things which are true, things which are honest, things which are just and pure and lovely and good report, virtue and praise, think on these things. Hold fast to those things because it will help you in your spiritual growth as you walk with Yeshua the Messiah. This is such a challenge for Timothy as the Apostle Paul writes these encouragement to him. So again, I'm just emphasizing verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. He is encouraging Timothy to hold fast to that which is sound, that which is helpful. And again, brothers and sisters, I want to suggest this again and again, that Satan is not for a moment resting. He is constantly attacking God's people. He did it in the garden. He did it in our own nation, Israel's history. You can read throughout the history of our people how he attacked the nation of Israel. In fact, we read in the prophet Zechariah how God had really accused him when he sought to speak against the nation of Israel. We see it in the Corinthian. He appears as an angel of light. He's not resting. And in order for Timothy to continue on in his spiritual growth and to be a blessing to the body of Mashiach, Timothy was encouraged to hold fast the form of sound words. But how to do so? You notice then, Paul does not want him to be a legal man. He doesn't want him to be a rigid man without sense, love, and care for others. So he said in verse 13, listen, hold fast the form of sound words, which you have heard of me. But notice how he said, in faith and in love, which is in the Messiah Yeshua. In other words, don't hold sound doctrine without trusting God. Have faith in Him. Commit to Him yourself and don't be wavering, you know, like sometimes it's very easy to waver, you know, and we are not holding on to that which is taught in the Word of God. You know, especially for those of us who come from a Jewish background, a time we are being challenged again and again by our families and people that we love so much, who challenge us, really, really tell me, is Yeshua, is the Mashiach, is He really the Messiah?
if really you are telling me that he is the answer for sin, you know, and they always come about with a verse or something from history, and, you know, to try to shake the truth that we know. It's not only applied to our own Jewish people, of course. It happened in many, many homes. People are trying to shake the faith of the believers by sowing doubts, by questioning things, you know. And we need to really learn, like Paul sought to teach Timothy, to hold on to the Word of God. Listen, I didn't say it. God says it. And I believe it. And it's the truth of the Word of God. When God said that I'm a sinner, I'm confessing it. When God said that the way of salvation is through Yeshua HaMashiach, I'm confessing it. When God said that the Messiah died on a tree and rose again on the third day, I believe it. Not because I understand everything, but because the Word of God teaches us. You know, the song that we sometimes sing, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, this, the book. For me, it is the Word of God, and we have to trust what the Lord says in His Word. But we are to do that, beloved brothers and sisters, as Timothy is exhorted to do it. He says, listen, you have heard this from me, verse 13b, but hold fast the form of sound words. Do it with faith. Don't waver. Don't change, wait a minute, maybe not, and maybe yes. Well, if it is the truth, if you accepted it, if it is indeed the Word of God, stand firm. Don't waver. You know, James said in his chapter, the one that is waver is like a person that is really shaking, is not standing firm. James, Yaakov said it in his letter. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said that the gifts were given to the body of Messiah for the edifying of the body of Messiah, that we henceforth not going to be like tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know, sometime this, sometime that. You know, he doesn't want it. He wants us to be firm and steady and consistent. And even when we fail to repent before the Lord, to turn back to Him in repentance, but to continue steady and faithfully holding fast the Word of truth. But also, notice that, not only with faith or in faith, but also to do it in love. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. It is the love of the Messiah that is in our own hearts. The love of Mashiach constrains us. And we are not to hold on to the truth without love. You know, we can't set love aside. Love is very, very important. But we don't base truth on a basis of love. No, but we hold on to the truth that is found in the Word of God. But we do so, and we express it, and we practice these things in the grace and the love that has been provided for us by the Lord. You know, it is a terrible thing for one to cross all the T's and dot all the I's and holding to principles and truth, but not to have love express along with it. You remember what we read in Yohanan chapter 1, the law was given by Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu. God gave to Moses the law to give it to our nation Israel. But grace and truth came by Yeshua HaMashiach. Grace and truth. We need both, beloved brothers and sisters. And so Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, listen, you hold on to the form of sound words, to the form of sound doctrine, but don't neglect to hold on to it with faith, trusting God, not wavering, not shaking, not changing your mind every time, but also to do so in love. The love of God that they reach down to us, to share those truths in love with others, to realize that we all are feeble and weak and we need consistently the grace that provided for us by the Lord, and to do so in love. In Hebrew, the word is ahava, emuna ve'ahava, faith and love. And we are to do so, beloved brothers and sisters. And so in verse 14, Notice the Apostle Paul showing to Timothy how he's able to hold on to the form of sound words in faith and love, but he cannot do it on his own. Because on his own, brothers and sisters, we oftentimes fail and stumble. And so he used another word, keep. In verse 14 he said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. By the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in us. Shmor in Hebrew, keep it. But notice how the ability to do so is only as we allow the Spirit of God to help us in maintaining this. You know, without the Spirit of God, without what we call Him in Hebrew, Ruach HaKodesh, without Ruach HaKodesh, we are unable to continue on to hold fast to the sound words and to keep that which was committed unto us. We cannot do so. And brothers and sisters, if we are not doing so in the right way, if we don't lean on the help of the Spirit of God, we can become very religious, but yet not have any life, no power. You see, everything that we do must be recognized or must be done with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is a divine person. At times we grieve Him. At times we quench Him. And when we're not allowing Him to lead us in our life, and we carry on in our own ways, we grieve Him. He is a divine person. He is God, the Holy Spirit. Elohim HaRuach. And the Holy Spirit of God is now indwelling the believer. Now I know sometimes we don't realize that. But do you know, brothers and sisters, that right now as we are here in this meeting, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, is in our midst. And the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling every one of us who have accepted that Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Messiah. And He's a divine person. He is within us. Notice how Paul said to Timothy in verse 14, he said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in us. In me, Paul. In you, Timothy. In you and I, there is a divine person that is dwelling within us. Now, sometimes we don't realize that. And sometimes when we do not hold fast the things that we have been taught, when we are not being keeping that which has been committed unto us, and we don't do so in love and in faith, and we end up grieving the Spirit of God, well, He is grieved and He is quenched, and we are at times not able to hold on to the things that we have learned. Why? Because Satan is attacking us and influencing us. We did not allow the Spirit of God to lead us, and therefore we were not successful to hold fast and to keep the things that we have learned. Whether it is intellectually or in our hearts and our mind, but also in our practical walk with the Lord. And you know very well how a time in our lives, unfortunately, we don't succeed to hold on to those things because we grieved the Holy Spirit of God. We quenched His liberty among the people of God. And therefore, we could not maintain what the Lord had given to us. Well, there's always room to be restored. Praise God for this. The Lord always wants us to confess and to turn back to Him in repentance, and He will assist us in these things. Let me read a couple of verses in connection with the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't mind to turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Yeshua said these words to the disciples in Yerushalayim before He went to die on the tree. He said to the brothers and sisters, to the disciples, to the Talmidim in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, Listen to this. That he may abide with you forever. Who is that comforter? Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, listen to this, verse 17b, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. You know, there is something unique about these present days in which you and I live in today. Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, does not only come to dwell upon certain individuals, like it was in the olden days in the history of our nation Israel. He came upon David. He came upon Shaul. He came upon Shimshon, Samson. He came upon Moshe. He came upon various individuals from among our Jewish people in the history of our nation Israel. But in this present day age, when what we would call the assembly was born, after the Messiah died on the tree and he went to heaven, he sent, according to Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit of God, not only to come upon believers, but to indwell believers. Every believer has a divine person that is within us. You know that when we go home, he is with each and every one of us. When we come to the meeting, he is within each and every one of us. When we go to school, younger one, he is within every believer. When we go to work, he is within every believer. Every believer in Yeshua HaMashiach is indwelt by Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why we are able in some way, when we let him, we allow him to hold on to the things that we have been taught, and in some measure, with his own help, to walk with the Lord here in this world. Look at another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. This is very good even for those of you who just have identified with Yeshua the Messiah in Tvila, in baptism. Look what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul said in verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you?" Don't you know that, he's saying to the believers at Corinth? Don't you know that you are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, dwell in you? Turn to chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. And there, verse 19. There, notice what he said. What? He said again, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God." I mean, it is amazing. At times, we forget that, brothers and sisters. I forget it. You forget it. At times, we don't realize this. But actually, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, a divine person, is dwelling within us. And so, again, back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, Paul saying to Timothy, who needed an encouragement. He was going to face a lot of problems. He was going to face the Ephesians local church in those days, who many were opposing perhaps the things that he was teaching. He was going to face a lot of problems. He will be questioned. People will challenge him. He's younger. He's not as older as Shaul Paul. So he is going to be challenged. So out of love for a younger brother, out of care for the spiritual welfare of the people of God, Paul is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, listen. Listen, Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words, which you have heard of me in faith and in love, which is in the Messiah Yeshua. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep it, Timothy. Hold on to it, Timothy. But don't do it with your own strength. Do it with the help of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, which is in us all. In me, Paul, and in you, Timothy," even as the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to Timothy. And brothers and sisters, listen, we are not as different than Timothy.
We are the ones who also need encouragement to continue on. I can tell you, we know it as believers. When we became believers in Yeshua the Messiah, it didn't take too long. We have three enemies that constantly attack us every day. Satan from without, the world from around, and the flesh from within. And we feel it every morning when we get up. And we feel it every night when we go to sleep. Satan attack us, the world influence us, and the flesh attacks us from within. And we can't spiritually continue on unless we lean hard on our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah and glean and get help from the Spirit of God, who will use the Word of God, the Bible, to minister unto our hearts, to encourage us to continue on in the world in which we live in. And as we live now in the last days of the church age, of the assembly age, soon the Lord is coming. He's coming very soon. We just talked earlier about the days in which we live in. The things that are going on in this world are unbelievable. Chaos all over the world. Problems around the world. Wars and earthquakes and tsunamis and all kind of things that are going on. Changing of governments and all kind of things. People are preparing for all sort of things in the world in which we live in. And so the body of Messiah is divided and scattered with many opinions and many views. To whom shall we go? Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, younger brother, I'm telling you, hold fast to a form of sound teaching, sound word, sound doctrine, and also keep all what you have learned with the help of the Spirit of God, so you will be a servant that is an encouragement to those that are called and those that the Lord want to bring them to be part of the people of God. So the first thing, verses 13 and 14, be true to God's word. But now notice the second one. And the second one is also kind of interesting, because Paul is now saying to Timothy in verses 15 to 18, also be true to God's servant, namely the Apostle Paul. And so look what he's saying in verse 15. You know this. This you know, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Of whom, he said, are Pergolus and Hermogenes. Timothy, you know very well that everyone that was in Asia Minor have turned away from me. Can you imagine how Paul must have felt? Everybody forsook him. Paul was called by the Lord to minister to the nations of the world, to preach the gospel to the nations of the world, to establish local congregation, local assemblies, to minister. First of all, he went to the Jew first, and then he went to the Goyim, to the nations. And then now, at the end of his life, he's telling to Timothy, Timothy, you know, look what's going on in my life. All that are in Asia, they have turned away from me. If you turn to chapter 4 for a moment, please, and you notice what Apostle Paul is saying in verse 10, he says, Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, how is that possible? You would say, you know, Paul, after all what he have done, after all the ministry that he ministered, forming local assemblies in various places among the nations, wherever he went in Asia Minor, I mean, these people ought to be so much grateful for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But you see, brothers and sisters, when push come to shove, we are all so selfish that it's not the things of the Lord first, it's many times our own self. You know what happened even when Yeshua was on the cross? You remember that? All forsook him and fled. All the disciples which said, you know, we will not leave you, will not forsake you. When the test came, they were not there.
And let's not put our fingers and blame them, because if you and I would have been there, we would have done perhaps the very same thing. That's the way we are. And here is the Apostle Paul, a servant of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, ready in the prison in Rome, in somewhere in a dungeon there, in a dirty, filthy place there, chained to a Roman soldier or more, ready to lose his life. Everybody left him. Everybody forsook him. Can you imagine how he must have felt? There were very few individuals with whom he could share. By the way, we read every time the epistles and the letters that Paul wrote. We read the book of Romans. We studied. Many, many Christians studying around the believers. We read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. We read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. We read all the epistles that he wrote. We read about 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. We read all the letters and we learn from them. And when you think about it for a moment, just look in your mind and visualize where was he sitting at the last days of his life. How many friends he had. Look at the passage. All they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Demas have forsaken me, love this present evil world. Everybody have gone. Timothy, you know that, he says to this younger individual, Timothy, you know what I'm going through right now. You know, in a sense, brothers and sisters, Paul was opening his heart to Timothy. He was really, really, in a sense, you almost feel his heart, how he must have been sad, not sad because he knew he was going to go to be with the Lord, but he looked around and he says, listen, all those who used to be my friends are no longer here. And you know, you will find it, brothers and sisters, that if you and I are going to follow the Lord, we're going to lose some friends. We're going to lose some family members. We're going to lose some people who used to call us, hey, buddy, hey, pal, I'm your best friend. We're going to lose people who used to be so close to us, and you'll see at times when you need them, they are not there. And again, I'm going to reverse it. It's not only them. At times, we have done the very same thing. That's the way the human nature is. That's why when God said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, He's 100% right. Because our human nature is sinful. Our human nature is selfish. And when a time comes, we are not really caring where we should be. So he's sitting there. And you notice even more, notice what he says. All they which are in Asia have turned away from me. Of whom, and notice here, the Apostle Paul mentioned two people. One of them, Pygilius, and the other one is Hermogenes. Now you never know who they were. We never read in the Bible who they were. But you will notice that in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, in every chapter, he mentioned two people together, twins you might say. And every one of them, he described what was wrong or what was right in what they have done. Look at this. In this chapter, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 15, he mentioned these two individuals by the name of Pygilus and Hermogenes, and in their case, they turned away from the truth of the Word of God. Turn the page to chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. Here we have another twins, you might say. He says in verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Pilatius, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the face of some. Here's the second twin, and in these two he said they erred from the truth. When it's come to chapter 1, they have turned away from the truth. When it's come to chapter 2, they have erred from the truth. Look at chapter 3 now, in verses 8 and 9. Here's a third twins. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. There we said, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind and reprobate concerning the faith. He's speaking again about two that we do not know, but he takes us back to history in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu Moses, the lawgiver, and he says, here's another, the third twin, in the case of them, they resisted the truth. So there was those who turned away from the truth, there were those who erred from the truth, and there were those who resisted the truth. But then thank God there is someone that he can speak positive about in chapter 4. Here the fourth twins in chapter 4 and verse 19. This time he's speaking about Aquila and Priscilla. And in verse 19 it says, salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus, and these two maintained the truth. So you see what Apostle Paul does in 2 Timothy? Chapter 1, there were two who turned away from the truth. In chapter 2, there were two who erred from the truth. In chapter 3, there were two who resisted the truth, but thank God in chapter 4, there were two, Aquila and Priscilla, who maintained the truth. And the question is simply this, what we learn from this. Where would you go and who you will cling to in your life? Paul is saying to Timothy, and he's saying it to you and I. He said, here it is. Two have turned away from the truth. Other two have erred from the truth. And the third one resisted the truth, but there is one couple that have maintained the truth. With whom you going to make friend, you might say. And you know, brothers and sisters, it's very true. If we are going to stay close to the things of the Lord, we need to stay close to those brothers and sisters who seek to maintain with all weakness, perhaps with much failure, but to seek to maintain the truth which we have heard and have learned. Those that will seek, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, those that hold fast to the form of sound doctrine and sound words. But here Paul, he's ready to die. And he's writing the final letter of encouragement to Timothy. This is the last letter that Paul have ever written. He says, Timothy, all they which are in Asia, they have turned away from me. And here's two of them, who perhaps Pergillus and Hermogenes may very well have been perhaps some teachers somewhere, maybe in Ephesus, who have really turned away from the sound doctrine and have gone further and further and further, and they have left Paul. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. No, we don't have anything to do. We don't believe the way Paul believed. We change our view about certain things. Oh yeah, we heard what Paul said years ago, but we no longer want to have anything to do with it. They have forsook him and have gone astray, gone away. And so he's saying now in verse 16, and I want to just lead on quickly to this, in verse 16, 17, and 18, he's speaking about one single man by the name of Onesiphorus. That's the way it sounds like in the Hebrew text, Onesiphorus, and he's speaking very highly about him. And he says, notice what he's speaking about, Onesiphorus. He says in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. And he was not ashamed of my chain. You see, he was not ashamed of the reason that I'm here in prison. He was not ashamed to affiliate with the Apostle Paul, who was in chain, in prison. That is the man by the name of Onesiphorus. Paul is saying, the Lord give mercy unto his house. He gave mercy because apparently maybe Onesiphorus had to pay some price by identifying with Shaul Paul when he was in prison. And so we read that he prayed that the Lord will give mercy to his household, to his family, because Onesiphorus stood with Paul and have ministered to him. Notice what he did in verse 17. And verse 18, it said, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and he found me. You know, he was seeking for Paul. Where is that Paul? Paul was in prison. He was in a dungeon somewhere there in prison. So he was looking for the Apostle Paul. He was trying to find him because he wanted to minister to him, to encourage him when he was alone, when he needed some encouragement and support. And Onesiphorus was seeking for Paul. Notice he was in prison, he was in chain, and he was in the city of Rome. And then Paul is so thankful for a man by the name of Onesiphorus. And you notice, we're going to close with this, beloved brothers and sisters. You see, there is a day coming in which every believer is going to stand before the Lord. The unbeliever, they will be at the great white throne judgment, only to be cast into the lake of fire. But the believers, you and I who accepted Yeshua, we're going to stand before Yeshua one day at the judgment seat of the Messiah. And he's going to ask us how we lived our lives, what we have done for Yeshua here in this world. And so Paul is saying, listen, the Lord grant unto him, this is verse 18, the last verse of 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, you know very, very well. You see what Paul is saying? You know, there is a day coming. And even though Onesiphorus paid a price by identifying with me here in this world, I'm longing, I'm praying, I'm wishing that the Lord will reward him in that day. And every one of us will have to give an answer for how we lived our life here on earth as believers in Yeshua the Messiah. Just listen to these verses found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now if any man build, verse 12, upon this foundation, the foundation is Yeshua HaMashiach, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he is a believer. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There is a day coming when all of us are going to have to stand before the Lord. And the Apostle Paul looked forward for that day in which rewards are going to be given to those that submitted to the Lord and have done things for Him here in this world. We know very well, and I'm going to close with this, that we at times do fail the Lord, and the Lord knows that. But the Lord, through Paul, wants to encourage all of us and Timothy. Timothy, hold fast. Stay true to the Word of God. But also don't forget me. I'm in prison right now. Be true to God's Word, but also be true to God's servant. And you will see, Timothy, that the Lord can use you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will use the gift that He had given to you to bless many people. And ultimately, there will be growth among the people of God. Well, brothers and sisters, I encourage you and I encourage myself in that to continue on, to hold on to the truth of the Word of God, to learn as learners. We're all in the school of God. The Lord is able to help us along the way so we will be able to please Him in this world.